What humiliates us in this world as Christians, I might take it out actually. As Christian, it might be the very things that bring us praises before our God. As believers, when we face trouble in this world and we are rejected by many, this might be the very opportunity for us to humble ourselves before God. And God actually will see the fact that we are not fighting for our own. When we seek not the places of honor before men, when we don't want to be very important, we become well suited for places of honor before God. And this is the subject we are looking at today from Luke 14. And I'm going to do only verses from 7 to 11. Luke 14, 7 to 11. And Luke 14, 7 to 11. Thank you, Ernest, for reading this for us. And Jesus tells this parable when he was invited to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee. As he observes how people were, the guests were picking up only the places of honor, so he told this story to make a point. And because it was a custom in those days that when a wedding banquet is put out, and the host will have a certain place, and most of the time their tables are not like our tables, are very very short, very low, and people will sit on the floor, and the tables were made in a shape of a U shape, you see, and then the host will sit at the base, and the most important people will sit next to him, left or right, or even some would sit behind him immediately. And so when people and the places of honor are those places that closer to the host. So if you sit next to the host, you will be considered as someone really very important. Let me share with you what is the honor that people are just really trying to find or like to crave for. Honor is not something we can really demand or ever demand. It is bestowed. It's given. We receive it when we are humble. You may ask, what is the meaning of honor? I used to say honor. But some say it is honor, isn't it? But that is the English language. Anyway, so a man, a theologian by name Seraphim Stevens, he sees honors as it comes in the Ten Commandments. You see, love and respect. Love and respect. And he went on to say we should note that this commandment is positioned between those address one's obligation to God and those that relate to how one treat others. You know, the first commandment, to love the Lord God with all of your heart, you see, and your might and your strength and your soul. And then the second commandment, that is like the first, is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so here we find that honor comes after that, and after we are called to love God and then also to love our neighbors. So honor comes, we can see that honor is something that God demands and comes through humility. Humility is what Jesus demands of his followers. As a sign of devotion to God and also a prerequisite to entering the, the kingdom of God. See verse 8 of chapter 14. Jesus says, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor. Do not take the place of honor when you are invited. This is a picture of someone who does not think highly of him when you don't take the place of honor. Because it is a parable that teaches us the consequence of humility as Christians. It can move us up to the place of honor, or the lack of it can really demote us and bring upon us humiliation. And that is why Jesus was making sure that we don't miss this. So beware of your need for grace, for you are weak and can fall in sin, and you need Jesus Christ as much as when you first met him. As it is true for you, it is true for me too. For we need grace to be able not to seek the place, the first place, as we saw in the children talk. We need grace because we are prone to seek our own first, to seek the best place, to put ourselves first. But Apostle Paul shows us that the grace of God is what brings us to this position where we will have not a low self-esteem, but we will have the proper understanding of who we are before God. And Paul teaches us this in his letter to Titus. When he said it was when the grace of God appeared, when Jesus came into this world, when the grace came, the grace shows us our need of salvation. So the grace here comes and disarms us of our pride and our self, and to strip us of anything, and will bring us into a position like, or become like pupils in a school, like preps, needing someone to teach them. Because that is what Paul went to say in chapter 2 of Titus, verse 11. He says, when the grace appeared, he taught us to say no to ungodliness, to sin. And the grace brought us to our knees to cry out for salvation. The grace brought us to a place where we repented of our sins. And so there is no place of exaltation here. You are humble. You have been shown your need for forgiveness. You have been shown your need of cleansing, of grace to receive God justification, God salvations, and God to come upon you and to make you a humble person. So Paul says this is the grace that we needed to be able to receive God's goodness and to receive a position of exaltation, if you like, a position that we will hear later on as we press on in the text. But this is the grace that we needed at the first place. And we still need today because we tend to forget. We tend to forget that we were once brought to tears when we were shown what sin can do. When we were shown what sin can do in our lives, sin humiliates, sins defeats, sins demotes, as we see in the text. But thanks be to God, because when Christ came, when the grace of our God and our Lord appeared, He saved us. He saved us and gave us the grace to say no, to learn to say no, something we could not have said in our own strengths. Can you not see what humility does? It brings us salvation. Do not take the place of honor. This is what Jesus is saying. When you are invited, do not scramble for human praises, whether from the host or from the guest, Because people seated next to the host were thought of as nobles of prestige, of people exceptionally important, not with God and not so in his kingdom. That is what Jesus stresses here. Jesus knows also what underlies such attitude is self-seeking, and it does not honor Christ. It's pride. Let me apply this quickly, lest we forget later. We should not give pride a chance to rule our lives and make us a people who always seek to be famous and respected by others, because that was what these people in the history were doing. They were coming and just picking up only the places of honor. They want to look important. They want to look important. And that is the things we face today. Sometimes we are crushed because others seem to be much more important than ourselves. And that does bother us so much. Other people have great light. They take most of the light. And I don't know about schools. Perhaps in the schools, high schools, sometimes primary, you got like some groups, and there is always a key leader. And people will want to gravitate around this key leader. And if they are next to this person, they feel really important that they are hanging out with such a person like this. So we had a history back long time ago in South Sudan during the colonial. So there was a white man who... a colonial person who was in a place of authority. And so he had a person who was working with him. And so as a custom in newer culture, people eat together. And so when he is invited by his group to come and eat with them, he would say, "Well, look, I had a lunch with Jiang Wan, that was the white man." So people were thinking of him as really a highly regarded person if he could dine with this man who is the governor of the whole region. Well, it's like this. People coming to the wedding host, to the banquet, to this occasion, they were trying to pick those places of honor. So proud people can be disappointed. Sometimes even in this world, we see this in this story, that Jesus is saying there will come a time when the host will think not highly of you. You might be asked to move. And I've seen this in my life with going to parties as a young person. So we were not known, but we would want to go just invite ourselves to parties, you see. And just you reach there early and you just occupy just a table. But when people come with their cards, and so you will be moved. Sometimes they don't find even a place to seat you. Well, they may say, "Look, well, you are not invited." And you will go just and listen to the music from outside, not having a chance even to dance. Even if a girl that you admire so much is inside, there's no way for you to go there. So it's like this. Sometimes you can be even humiliated. Even in this world. So humble people may not be appreciated in this world. It is better that you are not appreciated. It is better to be rejected only by men than to be rejected by God. So Jesus gave reason for this warning, why we should not take the place of a higher place, why we should not seek our own, why we should not push our way forward. Why we should not just be boasting about our credentials. So some people, I know, they are quiet so much about what they had achieved in the past, especially if you come into a new society, into a new community. They may not know once you were a president. You know, they wouldn't know that, you see. They wouldn't know these things. But it wouldn't matter if your presidency was in God's providence. So you will see yourself as a servant of God. So Jesus said, "Do not think highly of yourself or be proud in your heart, because such an attitude has unbearable consequences." Here, he stated, here in this world and even in the world to come. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. That was verse 11. So that is why Jesus warned. So if you push yourself always, that shows your estate. And you will be demoted. You will be really, you will face terrible things. You will be forced to take the lowest place. As he illustrated this in verse 8, he said, if you are invited and you come and you take the place of honor, and here comes another person invited into this very wedding, and so the host may come and say, please, he will just observe the language. Observe the language. He will say, give the seat to this man. Just observe the language. Give this man your seat, the order. So here, the emphasis is on the man. The man that you didn't think that he was highly exalted or highly regarded. So you give the language imperative. Give. There is no respect in that language. Give this place. Give this man. This man is much more honorable than you. So give this place to this man. If you take a place of honor at a wedding feast or banquet, you will might not be the person that is more important. So for us, as those who belong to Jesus Christ and to his kingdom, if we take the lowly place in this world, like our master, Jesus Christ himself, who didn't seek the place of honor, sometimes he comes and as an ordinary person, he never claimed to be the king. Even people were wanting to make him the king. No, he didn't do that. Though the divine Son of God coming from heaven, he humbled himself. He had no place. He had no mansion. And so he had no bank account. He had no address. So he was no somebody. And yet, he is the most exalted. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of the Lords. And there is no other name by which men can be saved, only the name of Jesus Christ. And so he is inviting those who come to him and follow him. Jesus didn't seek his own glory, but the glory of his Father. And we will be exalted if we follow his footsteps, in his footsteps. For Christians are sinners saved by grace alone. So we are the lowly, exalted by God's grace. We are the people who didn't choose to be in this position. We didn't choose to be Christians. But God, by his grace, he came and he invited us. As we humbled ourselves and cry out for mercy and salvation and forgiveness, he said, observe the place, the language here. He said, friend, that is verse 10, the second part of verse 10. Friend, move up to a better place. Friend, you are not just an ordinary person now. Like that person, even there was no mention of him. You see, there was a mention of the other man. Give this man the seat. You see, this man did not push his way in this world, did not think highly of himself, but had regarded of his God who is faithful. Who will say, friend, move up. Friend, move up. So any time that you have spent as a humble person, even nobody knows about you, it's not in vain. I heard a story. You know John Wesley, who lived in England once, born in 1700, perhaps 01 or 05. He was a graduate of Oxford, the highest ranking university in England. And he trained there to be a clergy. And yet he was not converted. He was not saved. The Spirit of God was not living in him. And on his way to Georgia, to America, he met poor people who didn't push themselves to the places of honor. Moravian. He was confronted. Are you really saved? Are you a child of God? And he humbled himself and he said, I don't really know. When he came back to England, that impressed upon his soul to humble himself and to invite Christ into his heart. And there he was born again. He was never been the same. And the result was that he was rejected by the Church of England because of his newfound joy, the true faith that comes by grace and grace alone in Christ. So this man was rejected and pushed out of the church, and he started to preach on the streets. And the high church people were persecuting him. A time he would be beaten near to death. And one day his friend came and picked him up full of blood and said, "What would you expect? Dying for him who died for me." He was called to preach the word of God because the grace of God taught him to say no to sin. And he believed and he was despised. So he became exalted, and lowly exalted by God's grace. Do you want to be told, give this man your seat, even here or in heaven? And I read a bit about John Wesley as well. John Wesley and also John Whitfield. They were serving at the same time, different ministries. And so they had a bit of differences in their views of faith. And people suggested that they should confront each other, especially Whitfield. But Whitfield said, "No, I can't do that." And one day he was asked, "When you come before the judgment seat of Christ, who will be closer to the throne of God? You or John Wesley? You, John Whitfield, or John Wesley?" And George Whitfield was a man of humor. Guess what he said? He said, "I will not even see John Wesley." He said that. You know why? He said, "Because he will be too close to the throne of God, and I will be far there." You see, so that was just a great compliment, because he saw in that man a humility, and that we should all also imitate. And look, do you want to be told, give this place, give this man your seat, or even to hear Christ say, "Come, faithful servant, you have been so faithful," or, "Friend, move up to a better place"? And you know it is God who decides, like the host who decides who to occupy the best place. It is the host who decides which of his guests deserve better seats. For the humiliation will be felt acutely with eternal consequences. Because when you are rejected by God, it's done, it's gone. You have the opportunity right now to make your relationship right with God. To leave seeking after your own things, but to surrender to Christ and show him the things that really you do, that you know from your heart, that do not honor him. Or even the temptation to try to fight your way. It is very hard, I know, when you are rejected, even in this world. But for those who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not a problem. They give praise to God. When I didn't know Christ fully and didn't know what he has done for me, I was like that. One day, that must have been when I was in university, during Easter, because our Southern Sudanese students who were studying in Cairo, we used to go together. So the denominational differences were not really a big issue to us, because we were not in our own country. So the Catholic, sometimes Southern Sudanese Catholic, they would organize an occasion for us to come and sing praises and pray together and have refreshments together. We were not with our families. So one day I took upon myself to lead a group of people to decorate the hall that we were going to celebrate in. And I went to the shops and bought all the decorations and things like that. And it was a hot summer. Degrees were like 45. And I was sweating, cleaning the roof and cleaning everything with the groups and just putting things, all the things that you do during birthdays, parties, or weddings. And guess what? After we celebrated, the man who was in charge really decided really to honor those who really contributed to the service to that occasion. And they were called by their name into the front and were given envelopes of thanks. And guess what? I was not given even one. I was not given even one. And that crushed me so badly. And I think that was the very time when God really was trying to crush the pride and the eye in me so that he can open doors for me to see what lies beyond that. And thankfully, this man, he noticed that after the service. I was just so really humiliated. And as I was walking away, he passed by my way and he saw me. And graciously, he came up to me and he said to me, "The Lord will reward you. Hallelujah." And now I know why that happened. That's for God to give me a testimony, to give me that lesson, that I should not look for man praise or man promotions or man exaltation. And all of us who are sitting here today, if we are to be friends with God, friend, move up. So we need not to seek our own. We need not to bother so much about whether we have been acknowledged by people or not, because we have a Savior who has prepared the best, the closest place for us. If we live humbly, if we are not proud, if we obey him, friend, move up. We will be like Abraham, who believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friends. Yes, you will be exalted before the saints on that day. If you seek not your own and not push your way and not bother yourself so much about the prestige and the glamours of this world, you will hear the Lord Jesus Christ saying, "Friend." What a grace to be called friend. Friend is the closest person to you. We disclose our secrets to our friends. We wish the best for them. You see, we want to give them everything that good, everything that we love for ourselves. We want to give it to our friends. And Jesus calls us our friends. Friend, move up. Friend, move up. There is a promotion when we live this way. And that is what Jesus stresses here. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. He will be forced to take the last place. Just imagine, just one example to give you, and then we finish there. Who would have thought that King David would be the king? He was just a shepherd or a shepherd. He was not even among his brothers who were presented before Samuel to be from whom God was going to choose a leader, a king. He was a shepherd boy. He was green. He was he was not rough to be the king, because they were rough king during that time. We were fighting wars. But God raises up a people. He can do that with you today. Don't look to yourself, but listen to Jesus. Follow him. King David came after his six brothers were portrayed there, and yet God was saying, "None of these I have chosen." And then, you know, Samuel said, "Are all these your children, Jesse?" And he said, "No, we have just a young son. who was unlikely to become the king. And he came and he became one of the best kings of Israel. And the man, God said, his heart is after me. The man who has written many psalms. So we need to live in such a way when the Lord appears with his angelic host or calls us home, he will say to us, friend, move up. For you did not seek your own self, but you have humbled yourself. Now enjoy the place of honor that the Lord has prepared for those who humble themselves. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this time. I pray, Lord God, that you teach us really more and more to resign from the things of this world and the honor of this world. Lord, to humble ourselves, to seek your face, to seek your approval, and to seek, Lord God, to live before you rightly and to obey, Lord God, your commands. We pray for the Holy Spirit to enable us to live in this way. And Lord, and to think of others as better than ourselves, we were wanting to live a better life. Hallelujah. Lord, do this for us. We pray also where we also do sometimes have false humility. When, Lord God, we look as if we are humble, but in our hearts we are full of pride. We pray, oh Lord God, take away that pride. Oh Lord God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.